Good morning. Welcome to worship. How great it is to be together. And if you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. And we're so glad you've chosen to worship with us today. Have a few announcements. One of the things you'll notice this morning is the choir loft is empty. Our chancel choir is taking a much-needed break, and several of them are in the congregation today, and we appreciate everything they do and the hours they put in for rehearsal, and we'll be having special music for the next couple of weeks, and again, we really appreciate our choir in leading us in worship. This morning, yes, give them... This morning, about 7:15, several of our youth left the church for Daytona for our student life mission trip, and several of them were sleepy, several of them were real excited, and I know that you'll want to keep them in your prayers as they do that mission trip. In the announcements, please look at the youth news and also the children's ministry. Children are going to the movies on Thursday, July the 17th, and there's information about that in your bulletin. Also, our mission of the month is the aluminum tabs for the Ronald McDonald House, and Lou Teeter is our coordinator, and there are several collection points around the church as well as in the Sunday school room, so please be sure and save your tabs for the Ronald McDonald House. It's a very worthwhile project. A lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Let's take a moment to welcome and greet one another. And would you join with me in the call to worship? Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Amen.
Thank you.
affirmation of faith this morning is number 883, and you'll find it also printed in your bulletin. Let us affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This morning. Good morning. Good morning. Okay. I just wonder, how's summer going? Good. I know some of y'all been swimming. Some of y'all been on vacation. Yeah, doing lots of stuff. I have a question for you. This morning, I want to know, are there any times when you wish that the day would never end? Like maybe if it's a special day, like your birthday party day, or a vacation day, or you're having so much fun with your friends that you just don't want the time to end. I get that way, especially vacation time. Do y'all get that way? Yeah, you probably do. You're probably like, oh, I want to do that more, or I'm not quite ready. And what happens at times? Maybe you get upset. Yeah. Well, you know what? In our scripture today, there were three disciples. And who were the disciples? They were friends of who? They were three men. They were friends of who? Jesus had how many friends? Okay, so we're going to have to learn that in Sunday school. They were friends of Jesus. And you know what? They went to the top of the mountain, and some special things happened. But you know what? They didn't want that time to end. Just like we don't want our times to end. Like when we're having special time with friends or vacation, because we're going to have to get on with our daily lives. But you know what? That wasn't the end. Because they got to go off the mountain and tell everybody what had happened. And tell everybody about Jesus. And about how much Jesus loves them. So even though we've got special times in our lives when we know that it has to end. Because we have to go home or the pool closes or the movie's over. That kind of thing. But you know what? We're going to have other special times as it goes along. All right? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for the wonderful weather outside. Thank you for all those special times in our lives, knowing that we will have more to come, just like the disciples did on the mountain. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to start off with Hebrews 6:18 through 19. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would take strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Every day we face challenges, and the Lord is our anchor that grounds us firmly in our daily walk. journeyed through the long dark night. Out on the open sea, by faith alone, sight unknown, and yet His eyes are watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. Anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions, I've had dreams, I've even held in my hand. But I never knew they would slip right through, like they were only grains of sand. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen of sea, but it was. The sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I face the raging seas. the storm.
Awesome. Thank you. Call your attention to our prayer concerns. We have some additions this morning. We want to be in prayer for our youth at the Student Life Camp in Daytona with Patty Shoemaker and family. We extend our love and sympathy to Pat Cash in the death of her sister, Jolene. We also extend our love and sympathy to Geetha Ramya in the death of her uncle. And also, we want to remember Madison Hilgeman, an infant granddaughter of Mike and Barbara Block, who is in Children's Hospital. Let's take our concerns as well as our joys to God in prayer. Loving and merciful God, as your son drew apart to be in prayer with you, we long to enter into your presence. And as we embrace the silence of this time and experience the joy of being together as a community of faith, calm our troubled minds and grieving hearts, and restore us with your forgiveness and compassion. You call us to go to the mountaintop with you, and we follow, not quite sure of what is to happen. But Lord, we like the mountaintops, and we like the view from up here. We like the mountaintop experiences, and sometimes we need the mountaintop experiences when our days are dark and dreary and when our hearts are heavy. We cannot stay on the mountaintop, for we're called back into community life. We hear again those wonderful words of you. You are my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Father, we confess our failure to listen to you because of the influence of our lives. Forgive us, Lord, when our priorities, our own self-centeredness, prevents us from seeing and serving people in need. When we fail to experience the joy of working with the poor and helping those who are oppressed and to bind up the brokenhearted and to reach out to all who suffer in this world. We pray that today we may be a living sacrifice for those who need to know the truth of your life-giving gospel. We are aware that just as Moses and your disciples were changed by their experiences, that we too are changed and transformed into the image of Christ by your mercy. Fill our hearts with your light. May we be filled with your love. Lord, may we have faces that reflect your love, your hope, and your light. All this we pray in the strong and loving name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We worship God with our gifts of tithes and offerings. In the scripture lesson today that Pastor Mary is going to speak to us about, the high point of the Transfiguration is God's urgent commission to Jesus' disciples then and now. Listen to him. And when we listen to him, we hear him tell us to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the prisoner. Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me. Gracious God, we thank you for this and all opportunities to dedicate not only our resources, but our energy to your work. Help us as individuals and as a church to be ever more effective in our abilities to see and take the different opportunities we have to help nourish and heal this world. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remain standing for our hymn of meditation, hymn 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Come Thou Fount of Every
my joy to share with you from the Gospel of Luke. We're going to the 9th chapter, verses 28 through 36. May the people of God be truly blessed by this reading and hearing of God's holy word as recorded in Luke 9, 28 through 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they wakened, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. And as he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silence and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. The word of God for the people of God. This morning we're going to begin a series for the rest of the month of July, looking at Christ in creation. And today we go to the mountains. Have you ever wondered why mountains are mentioned so many times in the Bible? Have you ever noticed how so many significant moments or messages from God occur in the mountains? Perhaps it really is the nearest place to heaven. So I began to wonder, what forms or causes a mountain to be created? And apparently, it comes from lateral movements within the Earth's platelets. A force comes about through a thrust and a reverse motion, pushing something new from within the earth. Your geological lesson for the day. Some fun facts about mountains is there are over 1,000 mountain ranges in the world, 50 of which are in the United States. And of course, the longest of those mountain ranges are the Andes, spanning over 7 countries in South America. The highest mountain range being the Himalayas. Of course, the highest peak of that mountain range being Mount Everest at over 29,000 feet. I don't know what it is about them, but we seem to be drawn to the mountains. Perhaps it's their majesty or the strength they seem to represent. Who doesn't love to get in the car and take a mountainous ride, to just see the beauty of it all, to see a different perspective, if you will? Some of our greatest getaways have been to the Smoky Mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, the Green Mountains of Vermont, to play in the snow. And of course, we're blessed here in Arkansas with the Ouachitas and the Ozarks. One of our favorite family memories of mine was when I had just been appointed to First United Methodist Church, Ma Mel's, our senior pastor. And as we always did upon arriving to a new appointment, we would begin to kind of canvas our new town and its surrounding community and landscape. And so on one Saturday afternoon, when the girls were about upper elementary and junior high, and Tony and I were much younger, you know where I'm going, we decided to take a picnic lunch and hike Pinnacle Mountain. And you know, I was startled by all the rock we had to navigate. I always think of mountains being green and lush and tall, but I never thought about all the rock. Well, mountains are made of rock, so I don't know why that was a surprise to me, but when we finally reached the top, I felt like bursting out in the Karen Carpenter song, "I'm on the top of the world looking down on creation." Well, anyway, so because I looked and the Arkansas River was like a little stream. And the people looked like ants. And we sat down just looking at the beauty from atop of that mountain. We sat down, we gave thanks to God as we ate our lunch. Of course, the interesting thing to me also, it was surprising, that going down the mountain, I began to discover muscles I didn't know my body had. Because as you go down, you're having to be more careful and you're using those front leg muscles for traction and greater footing. I was sore for days. But I suppose, like our family, everyone enjoys a good mountaintop experience, whether literally or figuratively. Mountaintop experiences not only are times when we reach perhaps the pinnacle of a mountain range, but they may also be times where we experience something profound, something rare to our common everyday experience. And as it is occurring, we know that something very special is happening to us. In our faith, mountaintop experiences are those times when we look and seek and discover our faith deepening. It may be a period of prayer off to ourselves somewhere. Or it may be in the sounds of sacred music that penetrates our soul. It may be a holy encounter we have with the Lord as we kneel and partake of Holy Communion. It may be a nudge or shove by the Holy Spirit as a certain message or prayer hits home to us just when we needed it most. Mountaintop experiences can happen in the Bible study and share groups. Any time when we feel the presence of God through the presence of the Holy Spirit, connecting ourselves with much needed inspiration and much needed spiritual nourishment. I've experienced, as have my children and husband, those mountaintop experiences, say, within a mission opportunity or event. The power which is evident in impacting another human being's life for the better cannot be overstated, nor is it beyond comparison. It's what Jesus calls us to do. I can remember a mission trip our girls went to back when they were in early high school years. The mission was to go and minister to an urban inner city impoverished daycare. I remember them coming back, all lit up inside, showing me pictures and telling me stories of each individual child and how they had read to them the stories of Jesus. How they had just taken the time to talk to them about their family, their favorite color, their favorite thing to do, asking questions about God and the world, just playing with them, doing arts and crafts, singing songs. Our kids had been changed. They had not only witnessed, but they had been witnessed by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes through sharing by caring. What's so marvelous about these special times is they can happen when we least expect it. We don't wake up one morning and say, gee, I'm going to create a mountaintop experience. I know that at 12:01, I'm going to have this happen to me. Of course we don't time these things. As Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, it's like the wind. You don't know when it's going to hit you and when it's not. So he said, be prepared. Seek. Open your eyes and heart. I do know this. They bring a change of perspective. They help us see things differently, better somehow. A new excitement, a surge of energy, even a hope renewed follows. Whatever it is, I know this. It's worth remembering, and we give thanks. As you delve into another gospel in the Bible, John, if you go to his 14th and 15th chapters, they read like love letters from Christ. Jesus is headed to the hill of Calvary, and he's doing so you and I can experience the mountaintop experience of a lifetime, our salvation. And Jesus said, remember what I'm telling you. So on this day, in our passage this morning, we find the disciples atop of a mountain with Jesus. And we understand Peter's response, because we long to linger and stay just a moment longer when we're atop a mountain, when we've had an experience of the majesty of God. Jesus knew his disciples so well and knows them well still. He knew what was going through their minds following the transfiguration. Jesus could see the ecstasy in their spirits, the excitement in their eyes. He knew what they were thinking. Jesus knew mountaintop experiences, however, cannot be freeze-dried. They cannot be mass-marketed. They happen when they happen, and you just need to accept and embrace them for that. To be encapsulated into one's mind and heart, and to remember, to savor, to cherish forever, because they are gifts from God. Jesus had been, don't you know, very intentional about who he took on that mountain. He took the very first disciples he had ever gathered. The two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and Simon Peter. They had truly become Jesus' closest friends. And there they are with him, accompanied with him, on a day that he's not only invited them to come and to pray, but for them to be the first to see and witness a personal and divine revelation that he is indeed the very Son of God. And what were they doing? They were asleep. Take note, my friends. Jesus is trying to share something very real and personal to you. Don't be caught asleep. So when Jesus stood before them, as they awakened, transfigured into almost a superhuman glow, with the image of Moses and Elijah on either side, images real, in which Jesus was speaking and in conversation, you wonder what the disciples are going to remember most. Peter, basking in the radiance of this event, suggested they commemorate this perfect moment by building three booths or worship shrines. That's Peter, impetuous, wanting to soak it all in, want to take it all in, want to commemorate everything and every breath about him, Peter. But you know, it wasn't so far off base. Because that's what you discover as you read the Bible in Jewish salvation history over and over again, as God created a marvelous, impacting message, instruction, or event. They would stop right then and there, gather what they could, and erect a monument to commemorate the occasion. Don't you know? Places where they could take those to follow after them and say, here is what happened with my God. Joshua, helping the Israelites to the promised land, crossing the river Jordan, set 12 stones commemorating the event and that the 12 tribes of Israel would live on. But here before their very eyes was a miraculous sight that they had never seen before. What's interesting to what Peter says is notice Jesus makes no direct response. But God does. This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. In other words, this is my son. He doesn't need a shrine. And I'm convicted when I read that. Isn't that the way we are? Jesus doesn't want that. God doesn't want our shrine. God doesn't want us to take our ministry and create an idol. God is saying to you and me this morning, listen to my son. Follow my son. And love as my son loves. So important for us to be good stewards of that which God has entrusted us to. It's important for us to keep our facilities appealing, attractive, and updated. So yes, go ahead and write that check to the Wilson Activity Center renovation. Because your faithfulness brought this message, this service, to many people who cannot be here physically through not only the audio but the video now. But if you prefer, for whatever reason, your worship to be that of the celebration contemporary style, you don't have that same blessing. So it's important that we update the Wilson Activity Center in many ways, one of which to provide that ministry. It is great that we are in the middle and coming to the close of doing some restructuring in the area of our church which houses our ACCDC Christian school. Because as wonderful as the ministry has been for 25 years plus, our culture has changed. Many, many more working families have the women, who are the primary caretaker, it seems, of the children, going to work after having their children. And so, after much diligence, prayer, and feedback, we are now increasing into an infant care. Thanks be to God, because we're going to be a part of shaping 10 babies in early Christian development and there are 26 on the waiting list. So updating our facilities is so important. As long as it's giving ministries to needs in our community, and that we don't find ourselves ever being prideful about it. We're to be a mission-making disciples who make disciples for the transformation of the world through Jesus Christ as we follow Jesus Christ, so we will know Jesus Christ. On that mountaintop so long ago, something fabulous happened to three men. They saw their Lord Jesus transformed, transfigured, but they couldn't stay on that mountain. They could not linger. You know why? Because you can't live the abundant life stuck on a mountaintop. You can't. The air is thin. The food is scarce. Vegetation doesn't really thrive. No. Most of us live in the valleys and not on the mountains because it's in the valleys where the crops are grown. Jesus taught anyone who would dare to follow him, to dare to call themselves after him, bearing his name Christian, that they would have to bear fruit for the kingdom, or be lopped off and thrown in the fire. That's not a very desirable choice. So there is just really one choice: to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. And that seems pretty drastic, but then understand this: transformation always calls for drastic measures. Our challenge today is to have an honest conversation with our souls, remembering that a heated tug of war within the earth itself formed something new called a mountain. So this morning I ask a few questions. Are you open and aware to the mountaintop experience begging for you to climb its pinnacle? Do you understand that although the mountain is beautiful, we cannot linger there? We shall not linger there. We are instructed not to linger there, but to come down into the valley and get our hands dirty, to grow the crops and bear the fruit. God said to listen to Jesus. Shh. Do you hear him speaking? Calling out your name? What's he saying to you? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We invite the congregation to prepare and sing our hymn of commitment, How Firm a Foundation, 529. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus Christ, perhaps for the first time, to renew that profession, or to come forward and to pray, this is the moment to do so, and we'll be happy to meet you forward. Let us be standing and singing.
Thank you.
this is for me personally.
Mountaintop.
Mountaintop, absolutely. As I present to you, and I know you welcome with me, the joy of receiving Dr. Russ and Mrs. Ann Pierce to us by transfer from First United Methodist Church, Pine Bluff. I have known these dear, dear Christian people for over 30 years because when I was a youth minister at First United Methodist Church, way back, before we were married, I had the chance to get to know them, and we've been these wonderful friends ever since. So I know you welcome me. And Tony was telling me just a moment ago, is this the first church you've ever joined outside of First United Methodist Church, Pine Bluff? Wow. Asbury, you are doing something right. And we've been so blessed because Rustin has already been singing in the choir for several months. And Ann brings the wonderful grandchildren so often and has rung in our handbells. And so they've already been very active. And we're just so grateful to greet them and to welcome them officially, even though they've been a part of us for quite a while. Please receive the benediction. And now, God, we feel your precious love. We thank you for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we have been enveloped in the communion and fellowship of your Holy Spirit. May we go forward and share the love, the grace, and the fellowship of your Holy Spirit now and forevermore. Amen.